at the end of 2008, my wife and I moved to East London in South Africa. My wife was 8 months pregnant and planting a church, starting a church. It was a really challenging season of our lives. And a few months after our son was born, my wife fell into a postnatal depression. A lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, lots of insomnia. For about 3 years, she could hardly sleep. It was an extremely dark season of our lives. And I prayed for her many times. I literally prayed for her more for hundreds of times. Sometimes twice a night, I would pray for her that Jesus would heal her and set her free. And yeah, it was really challenging. I mean, I was a pastor in 2012. I was a pastor for 10 years. I even prayed in tongues, you know. I was supposed to know the power of God. And I realized that even though someone prays in tongues, which is your prayer language, your spirit praying to God, it doesn't mean that you know the power of God. It doesn't mean that you are full of the Holy Spirit. And so I had to humble myself. I had to acknowledge this, that I don't know the power of God. I don't know the Holy Spirit as I should. And so that put us on a journey of pursuing more of God and pursuing more of God's Holy Spirit. So praise God, Jesus healed my wife of the insomnia, of the fear in 2012, and also of a 26-year skin disease. And from 2012 onwards, we've been on an incredible journey of seeing God touch lives. You know, but if you want to know God, there needs to be a deep, deep desire, a hunger, a thirst. You can't be satisfied with what you have. You know, I often joke about it, but I say, you know, there's no high like the Most High. In other words, everything you're longing for is found in Jesus, is found in knowing God intimately. So let that be stirred in you. Pursue Him. Pray to Him. Ask Him for more. And you will receive more. So I want to encourage you in terms of that. So in the second session concerning the Holy Spirit, we're going to focus on the promise of the Holy Spirit. We're going to answer this question, but what does the Holy Spirit do? In the previous session, we looked at the book of John. And we looked a bit at Jesus' life. Now we're going to look at the Old Testament and some promises that were given in the Old Testament concerning the Holy Spirit, and which was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. So this question we need to answer: how does the power of God translate through our lives? We spoke about powerlessness and also being empowered by God. But in the midst of this, there's this issue, this question about worthiness. Are you and I worthy of the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Are we worthy? Or is this only for special people? I often speak to people and they wrestle with this, you know. They battle to believe that the fullness of the Spirit is for them. So let's tackle this issue. And this was part of my struggle, especially 2011, 2012, you know. I didn't see miracles in my life for about 10 years of full-time ministry. I didn't see the power of God through my prayers. It was extremely rare. And I was wondering, is this for me, or is it only for the, you know, the super anointed apostles from America? You know, we always think somebody from far away, they must be special, specially chosen by God. And I was surprised by God's goodness. That no, it's for each one of us. It's for the anybodies. It is for you. You see, God gets glorified when nobodies are empowered by His Holy Spirit. You know, and so you need to believe that this is for you. So in the Old Testament, we see at first it seems like only worthy people are chosen by God to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They were unique individuals chosen by God on the basis of their purpose, their unique talents, or their character. So Israel was chosen by God as a nation purely on the basis of provoking other nations to envy. Israel was actually a slave nation, 400 years of slavery, yet God chose them for His glory. A And then there was King Saul. You know, he was the first king of Israel. He was chosen on the basis of his impressive physical presence. Man, he looked like a leader. He looked like a king. And so, yes, surely then he must be worthy. And then we have King David, you know, a man who was with a heart after God's own heart, a man that loved God, and he was chosen to be king, and he was anointed. And so the list goes on. But the choice of God becomes an important topic in the Old and in the New Testament. It's called election. You see, God chooses, it seems, based on worthiness. It was a rare occasion for people to be empowered by the Spirit, so surely they had to be unique, they had to be special, they had to be better than the rest. And so this is a challenge for you and me. Do we qualify? Have we done enough? Have we prayed enough? Have we fasted enough? Have we performed enough to deserve the presence and the power of God? And the truth is, none of us can. None of us can work for the Holy Spirit. None of us can earn it, because we can boast in it. Man, look at what I have done. No, the Holy Spirit is a gift from God. You cannot earn it. You can't fast enough. You can't pray enough. But you can receive by faith. And that's where the fight is. The fight is for faith. And so many of us have these deep insecurities, as I had. And so I want to encourage you. You see, if we look at even these Old Testament examples, the best still proved to be unworthy. Israel fell into perpetual cycles of deceit and idolatry. You know, King Saul, he falls into deep moral and spiritual decay. King David, he commits adultery and he murders a man. No one's worthy. No one qualifies. And yet, we have this incredible promise in the Old Testament that God will democratize the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's just crazy. The best of the best in the Old Testament don't qualify. And yet God says, I'm gonna give my Holy Spirit to all flesh. That's just crazy. How does this work? You see, and this is why the work of the Spirit is intimately linked with the work of Jesus. In Jesus, the question of worthiness implodes because he loves us with an ultimate love. The category of worthiness ceases to exist. You and I, we're valuable and worthy because he loves us. And there's another component. You see, Jesus, as I said in the previous session, he was perfect, sinless. I mean, he's God. But he didn't operate by his God powers. He was a man, completely surrendered to the Holy Spirit. But because he was sinless, he could receive all of the Holy Spirit upon his life. But you and I, are we sinless? No, we all sin. And this is where it gets tricky. Because obviously then we don't qualify. I mean, one sin disqualifies us from receiving the holy presence of God into our lives. And this is the good news. You see, when Jesus did his earthly ministry, he showed us how to live morally and he showed us how to do ministry. He showed us what a son or a daughter of God looks like in real life. And then he goes to the cross and he dies in your place and in my place. He took all our sin upon himself and he sheds his blood for you and me, so that he could wash us clean. That's what they did in the Old Testament. The temple had to be purified, and so they took blood of animals and they cleansed the temple. In the New Testament, you and I, we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And so the blood of Jesus washes us clean, removes all our sin. It is as if you've never sinned when God forgives us our sins and he washes us clean. Yo, that's good news. And so when the Father God, when he looks at you and when he looks at me, who does he see? He sees Jesus. Not that you and I are God, but he sees the perfection and the righteousness of Jesus Christ, because we are washed, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. You see, that gives us great confidence. Our confidence is not in our works. Our confidence is in the finished work of Jesus Christ. It is finished. It's done. You can't earn the Holy Spirit. You can't work enough for the Holy Spirit. Don't even try. I tried for many years. I strived and like wondering, pondering, do I qualify for God to show up today? You know, these days, even when I didn't fast and I didn't pray enough, God shows up because it's by faith. It's not by works. So stop striving. Stop trying to work for it. Celebrate the finished work of Jesus Christ and by faith receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's good news. That is good news. You receive the Holy Spirit by faith. You see, the fight is for faith. That's where the contention is. The enemy accuses us. He breaks down our confidence and we wrestle with doubts. And the enemy has us focusing on our sins and our mistakes and our faults. No, let the Holy Spirit reveal to you what Jesus has done for you. Turn to Jesus and allow Him to renew you and restore you. Let His beautiful presence and love flow you, fill you right now. So the one time I was praying and I just felt the Holy Spirit, I felt God say to me, Andre, the only obstacle you're facing is unbelief. I was like, yo, the only obstacle? And I went to the scriptures and I read Mark chapter 11, verse 23, and it seems to be so. It says, therefore, assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. It's true. In this case, Jesus is saying the mountain isn't the issue. The obstacles in our ways isn't the issue. The sin isn't the issue. The unbelief is the issue. You see, Jesus had already done it all. And when you and I contend for faith, how? By standing on the promises of God, by renouncing the lies of the enemy, by receiving what Jesus has done for us, then the doubts leave, faith comes, and the mountain moves. I want to encourage you. The only obstacle we're facing is unbelief. You see, because God is bigger than any mountain, and with faith connects us to the power of God. Contend for faith. Fight for faith. To realize who you are in Christ. To realize who you are in Christ. So let's get to the heart of the matter. The Old Testament promise, Joel chapter 2, it says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. I want to say it again. All flesh, not some. All flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. They will hear God's voice and they will proclaim the word of God. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders. Signs and wonders. And then the last bit there, it says, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. When the Holy Spirit gets poured out, the promises of God become available to everyone. The prophet Joel records one of the most radical promises in the Old Testament on how the Spirit will work on the earth. You see, the Spirit will be poured out on all flesh despite our relative worthiness or unworthiness. It says, sons and daughters will prophesy. Old men, those who are beyond their productive years, shall dream. They will have revelations from God. Young men who has not yet proven anything yet shall see visions. And then it says, even slaves will receive the Spirit despite their non-existent social status. You see, we see here a shattering of all conventions of worthiness. Not age, gender, socioeconomic status. None of these things mean anything. Male or female, how much money you have, you don't. Your position in society, it doesn't matter. God will act and include the worthy and unworthy alike. And this is incredible. You see, religion is about, dead religion is about working for, trying to impress the gods, you know, trying to prove that you're worthy. No, Jesus makes us worthy. He loves you. He's done it all for you. So the one time we went to Argentina, to Buenos Aires for ministry, took a team with us. And so we had an incredible week. God did amazing things. And so we were sitting in our team meeting, and one of the guys, he said to us, "I'm not like you guys. I'm not spiritual. I come from a family that's not spiritual. You know, we don't, you know, move in the things of the spirit like you guys." You know, I listened to him and I smiled. And then later in the team meeting, we prayed for one another. And then I prayed for him. I laid hands on him. And as I was praying for him, I saw a vision of him. You know, a vision is like a mental picture by the Holy Spirit. I saw him going deeper into the river of the Spirit. And I saw him lying on the floor. You know, the next moment, the power of God comes upon him. And in his case, he actually fell to the ground. And he had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. That evening in our meetings, the same guy that said, "I'm not as spiritual as you guys," he prayed for people who were healed, who were delivered, who encountered the fullness of the Spirit, because in that one moment, he received an impartation of grace. You see, the Holy Spirit's a gift. You cannot work for it, and it's got nothing to do with your past. You know, I was a pastor for 10 years, and I felt useless. I felt powerless. My past didn't give me any confidence. So don't look at your past. Look at the promises of God. Know that the blood of Jesus washes you clean and prepares you. And then by faith, receive the fullness of the Spirit. Believe it's for you, because I know it is. So we see also then the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 26. He says this so powerfully. He says, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose," love that, "God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." You see, one of the keys for knowing the fullness of the Spirit is to realize that you have no power in yourself. You can't do it. I can't heal a headache, neither can you. We can do nothing in ourselves. Jesus said this, "Guys, you can do nothing without me." So if you want the fullness of the Spirit to rest upon you, we need to humble ourselves and say, "God, I can't, but you can. So I receive your promise." And then it says there as well, "And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." Realizing that it isn't you. So this is one of the keys. You just stay connected to God every step of the way.
Take 10 minutes to reflect on and discuss this session's key Bible passage together with others in your class. If you are watching on your own, take a few minutes to reflect on the key Bible passage by yourself.
So let's look at the key passage, Acts chapter 2, Pentecost, the birthplace of the church, the day the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the apostles, the 120 in the upper room. It says, "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. It filled the entire house where they were sitting and divided tongues as of fire." Again, that the fire, the Holy Spirit comes as a fire. "Divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language." They heard their own languages. The apostles, the disciples spoke human languages supernaturally. "And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans?" And a little bit later in that passage it says, "And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they are filled with new wine." And then Peter got up and he preached. So there's a few amazing truths in this. The first thing is the disciples were defeated and leaderless at the time. And they obeyed Jesus' voice. "Go and wait in Jerusalem for the power of the Holy Spirit." And then secondly, Upon the pouring out of the Spirit, the crowd was divided and confused. They were perplexed. How is it possible for these guys to speak human languages? You know, and I want to say to you, God still does that today. Over the last few years especially, God has at times used me to supernaturally speak human languages. So I remember about 2 years ago, we were at Bible school and we were praying for people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And there was a lady there, a Messianic Jew. She's a Jew. She understands Hebrew. She reads the Hebrew Bible, but she's a believer in Christ as her Messiah. And so as I was praying for people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I prayed in tongues, my prayer language, which you don't understand. And then later she told me that as I was praying in tongues, I spoke Hebrew without knowing it. I quoted from the Bible, the Aaronic blessing prayer. I was quoting Hebrew scriptures and passages. And as I was praying for them to be filled with the Spirit, one of the Hebrew words I said over and over again, I said, more. More. Basically, God, give them more of your Holy Spirit. So I believe that is a biblical prayer to pray. God, thank you for what we have, but God, there's more. Give us more. And so I've spoken in multiple other languages as well, in Spanish and some local languages as well. And it just stirs people's faith. It's a sign that stirs faith. So pursue that. Pursue more. And then we also see that, just to end off with this, is that the guys were confused. They were like mocking this because they said the guys look drunk. You see, sometimes when the power of the Spirit moves, it is outside of our religious boxes. People could look drunk. They could fall to the ground. They could shake at times. And we see this in past revivals. Incredible things would happen. Don't judge the manifestation. Judge the fruit. Our lives being changed, our hearts turning to Christ, our people being saved and delivered, that is the key. Now, the beautiful thing is these guys, they were nobodies, and yet Jesus empowered them, as Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So where do you begin? Practically, ask God for the infilling of the Spirit. Ask Him, say, God, more of you, please. I stand upon your promises. Then begin to set aside time daily to worship God, to pray, to lift up the name of God, to walk in thanksgiving, but to continuously turn your heart to God and say, Lord Jesus, fill me with your Spirit so that your name might be glorified. So let me pray for us for that. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that the desire for more will be stirred in every heart. Lord, I pray that we call upon your name and reposition ourselves in your presence, in a place of worship and prayer and receiving that infilling of the Spirit. So God, right now, release a fresh infilling and blessing over your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you.
Take 15 minutes to reflect on and discuss the following points together with others in the class. If you are watching on your own, take a few minutes to reflect on the points by yourself. You can find the discussion points in your Bible school handbook. Look out for the Living the Word sections in each session.